Every stronghold will come down. If you have your Bible this morning, turn to Philippians chapter number 4, if you will. I want to start this message this morning probably in a most unusual way, because it's not my typical way of sharing the things that I share on a given Sunday morning or whenever I get up to preach. But I want to share some things with you that came across my heart and my mind this week. So good to have Miss Shana today and Cattison with us today. And also praying for Myrtle Bloodworth, but Myrtle Ridenour as well today. She had surgery on her foot, and we're praying for her as well this morning. Philippians chapter number 4, there is a phrase in this scripture that I wanted to talk about this morning, and it's found there in this collection of scriptures that Paul was writing. Again, not taking the time to go through the whole history of Philippians, but Paul again was in a most vulnerable and an unusual place when he wrote this letter. He was in a jail cell, and he wrote this letter back to the church there at Philippi, and Paul again was writing this message to them to remind them of a mindset, to remind them of how they could change their thinking and it could change their life. Now, again, I'm going to get into some stuff. I'm going to talk about some stuff today, and hopefully by about 2:20, 2:25, we'll be where we need to be with this message today. And I wanted to just open up here in the scripture. Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for you, for my joy and my crown, so steadfast in the Lord, my dearly beloved, I beseech Euodias and Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel with Clement, also with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life." Again, Paul was writing to these individuals from where he was at, and he told them there in verse 21 that they all need to be collectively working together, all in one mind and one accord, working together. And then he tells us in verse number 4, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing." In other words, don't be overcome with anxiety. Don't let the cares of life overtake you. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds." That's where we're going for a little bit this morning. Because I believe when Paul wrote this, that he put a connection between the physical and the spiritual. And I'll get into that in just a few minutes. "Keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, my brethren, whatso things are true, whatso things are honest, whatso things are just, whatso things are pure, whatso things are lovely, whatsoever thing are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise," let's say this together, "think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me," look at this next little word, "do. And the God of peace shall be with you." Stretch your hand this way and pray for me. "Father, I cannot in any way do what I'm called upon to do without you. Father, I need you today. I need you to touch my mind and to touch me, Father. I pray, God, that you would help me to be found faithful as we endeavor to do what we're doing here today in this service. Lord, I pray, God, that you would take control of every thought and everything that I'm to do here today. Father, I pray your blessings upon this congregation. Help us, oh God, to not only hear the word, for faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. But James said, not to just be a hearer only, but a doer of God's word. So, Father, I pray, God, that you would touch our minds. I pray, God, that you would open up our hearts today, that we would be able to see and to understand what's going on in our lives today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, an unusual opening for my typical Sunday morning. Why things come to me the way they do, I don't know, but they do. And once they do, I just have to act upon that and try to figure out those things. So one of those things hit me this week as I was thinking about this verse. How many of you know that you are body, soul, and spirit? What is going on in your physical body today has everything to do with your spiritual victory. We can see again how that Paul reiterated over and over, and Paul used these words talking about the mind. I was thinking about how that years ago there was a commercial on the television. Some of you may not remember this, but I do. There was a hot frying pan, and that hot frying pan was over a stove, and then they would break an egg into that hot frying pan, and it would show that egg frying, and then they would use the phrase below it, and it was a commercial about a drug-free America. And it said that the mind is a horrible thing to waste. And so all of that collectively come into my heart this week, and I began to think about something that is most unusual for me, but maybe not for some of you that's in this room. So I thought, okay, I'm not a scientist. Neither am I the son of a scientist. I don't know anything about anatomy of the body, very, very little. I'm not a psychologist or a psychiatrist, and maybe you are, and you can help me when I preach this message, but better yet, you preach it when your turn is to preach, and you can preach it better than me. But I thought, what does neuroscience have to talk about the mind? Now again, this is not a message on the anatomy of the mind, but I begin to think about how that the mind works, and the mind is connected to everything that goes on in your body. Your body, your soul, and your spirit. So therefore, your mind is connected to everything else you do. So in reading this little article that I read, and I'm going to talk all the way through all of this, in this particular article that I read, I thought to myself, how does neuroscience, if you will, the study of the brain, how does that connect to your life and my life as it pertains to negative thinking? Now, there's nobody in this room that would ever think negative. I know that. I realize that. Nobody in this room has ever been captivated by negative thinking. I'm glad we're not that way today here at Thomasville. But if by chance somebody hears me somewhere along the journey that somehow is captivated by negative thinking, this message is for you maybe. Maybe it'll help you. I don't know. But I begin to think about in our world today and in our society today, how that we are living in an outbreak, if you will, of negative thinking. Can anybody besides myself agree to that? I do agree with that. Because we are so prone in our lives today to talk more about the negative things that we see, more so than the positive things we see. If you're around anybody for any length of time, you know, and I see this, I do it, and God help me today after I preach this message to myself to break that yoke of bondage that drives me into negative thinking, because I do this, and I'm confessing to you that I need to break this over my own life today. And again, when we think about this, first of all, I understand, and we understand, that we are made up of a physical body. We have a physical body. And as a physical person, everybody in this room, we cannot neglect the physical person that we are. We look at this and we understand that God made every person in this room with feelings and emotion, that He alone, one of those things that He made was simply the mind that we operate in. But again, we think about this, all of us in this room, I would assume, and it's dangerous to assume, but all of us could use a touch in our mind from time to time. Again, you and I, we ask ourselves this question, how do we react to negative thinking? Now, that's going to be the crux of the message, because Paul said, think on these things. And then Paul was saying at the bottom of this, In verse number 9, and we look at that, he says, these things which you have learned, and then he says, and received, and heard of, and seen in me, what does he say? He says, to do them, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, the reason I said that, the way I said that, is because most everybody in this room that I'm preaching to this morning, and with this morning, including myself, we know the Bible. But do we do the Bible? Hello? Did my mic just go off? We know the Bible. We know what to do. We know the right things to do. But yet, oftentimes, we fall into this miserable trap of the enemy. All of us, sometimes, we according to this article, it said our brains are wired to focus on the negative. Oftentimes, hopes of prosperity come, and yet the letdowns of life, setbacks that send us into some type of mode of thinking, and we think to ourselves, what in the world is going on with me? Here's the big one. I must be damaged goods. We think that way. Let me see what page 2 has to say here. And it says we can look at this information today. Again, I'm just giving you information that this individual put out there. So his name is Nate Klemp, K-L-E-M-P. I don't want to do any plagiarism this morning. But it says here today that I know that when we think about neuroscience today, oftentimes it is different than our normal way of thinking. Maybe there's something in our lives today that we can learn as we look at this today. Neuroscientists have created a name for this negative thinking that's in our brain, if you will. And again, when you think about it, it says that oftentimes it's called negativity bias. Anybody ever suffer? Don't raise your hand. With negativity bias. In other words, this negativity bias, if you will, is where the brain automatically resorts back to negativity of the brain, and the brain is in a habit of thinking in negative cycles, if you will. In modern times, however, this habit of negativity bias leaves us oftentimes reacting to a harsh email or a difficult conversation, and it happened to me yesterday, as if our life were in danger. And as this happens, it activates a cascade, if you will, of stress hormones and leaves us finally, if you will, leaves us fixable. And I guess that's the word I wrote down there. I can't even read my own writing. And it said, in other words, when we see this happen in our own lives, when these hormones come to play, it leads us to feel like we are being potentially threatened. And in this, that is the natural working of the brain, if you will. So, and when that happens, this writer went on to say that we're unable to see the bigger picture. I'll give you an example. If God be for you, then who can be against you? You let something negative happen on your job. You let something terrible happen to me, like sometimes it does. And all of a sudden, everything in your brain begins to flash and spark, and you no longer think about the positive. You automatically resort back to the negative, and you automatically go back into that. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing today. Paul in these scriptures, and this is what's on my heart. That was a little bit of what he said. This is what's on my heart. Somehow, we got to look at the scripture, okay? Somehow, we got to look at the scripture and see what the scripture says. And then not only hear the word, receive the word, but we've got to apply the word. You and I, us and we, maybe nobody in this room, but we are in a cycle, if you will. That's the only way I can explain it. In a cycle of life. In this cycle of life, the way I look at this through my lens of preparing this message is that you and I are much different thinkers than the way the world thinks, because we have a body, soul, but we have a spirit. Now, I'm going to say something here in just a minute, if I can find my place on it. And this is what needs to be said today. We need to think about what we think about. In other words, we need to think about what we're thinking about. And if what we're thinking about is what we need to think about. Now, I know that's a play on words. But we need to think about what we're thinking about. We need to think about it. And then the second part of that, and is what we're thinking about, is it really what we need to be thinking about? And the reason that I say that is because you can really check your own brain and really think to yourself, is my brain really lining up with what God says about me? Example, Sherry's favorite verse, Jeremiah 29:11 there, and it says that God was speaking to Jeremiah and he told him, hey, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. I know my plans that I have towards you. He says, if you think about this, thoughts of peace and not of evil. God is not a God that thinks of you of evil, but he said to give you an expected end. Paul said, if God be for me, then who or what can be against me? See, in our world today, we go through these negative cycles of our life, and we carry in our heart, we carry over our lives as Christians, we carry this victim mentality. We see and we feel that we are the victims of society. We are the victimization of those near us and around us, and we get into this slump. But yet the Bible, my friend, is extremely clear in what we need to do. So hit the pause button for a minute. So this little article that I read, it said there's three things you need to do when you find yourself going deeper into negative thinking. First of all, he said you need to stop. Now that's my word, not his, but I'm going to put that in there because it's very important. We need to just stop. We need to pause. We need a Selah moment. We need to pause and think about it. By that, I simply mean this, that this article said you need to notice. Notice what you're thinking about. Are my thoughts lined up with God's word? And that is really the thing that somebody else actually said, is that we're not trying to teach you how to think more positive, even though we need to do that. We need to, as the people of God, we don't necessarily need to be taught how to live more positive, but we need to be taught how to live in biblical thinking. We need to think like God thinks. There's a couple of scriptures that comes to my mind. First of all, let me go look and see where they're at. First of all, we see these about how the Bible is clear about this. First of all, we see this found in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, if you're writing that down. And this is what he said. He said, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Now, if I was going to say that in today's lingo, if I was going to put that in the lingo of society today, I would say it like this. Hey, man, you need to get a grip. And don't tell me the church don't need to get a grip, because the church needs to get a grip. If it wasn't for my lovely, beautiful, awesome 38-year wife right here, I'd be a whole lot worse than I am right now. She helps me to stay very, very balanced in my thinking. I help her stay very balanced in her thinking. We help each other. But yet in the same sense, if you are infiltrated with negativism every day, day in and day out, somewhere along the way, you've got to do what Peter said. He said, wherefore, gird up. What does it mean? It means to pull together. You know, you've studied this, you've heard this, you've heard me preach about it. If a runner was running in the Old Testament, New Testament, and they had the long flowing robes, if you will, they would have to reach down, get the robes, pull them up, pull them around, put on the girdle of truth, if you will. They'd have to pull up all that waist, if you will, and pull it together so that they could run. And in a lot of ways, that's the way we need to collect our thoughts. Our brains go wild today. Hello? Is it making sense yet? Our brains think all kinds of stuff. And in thinking all kinds of stuff, we think all kinds of negative things. We think of things that the devil's trying to do to us. And we think of things that are totally contrary to the Bible. So this first thing we need to do, we need to notice. We need to notice what we're thinking about. Then he says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. Somebody said, my mind's just going wild. Well, stop it. Quit. Today. I've tried my best to get this message the way that God would have me to preach it today. Don't let your mind go wild. Your mind is a terrible thing to waste. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Means correct, serious thinking. But be correct in your thinking. Think about yourself and think about your life the way that God's Word thinks about you and says about you. Amen? He says that we're more than conquerors. He said that we're victorious through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're no longer the victims, if you will, of Satan's affairs, if you will. But we're children of the Most High God. Hello, somebody. We're children of God. We need to think about those things. We need to think properly and correctly. And let me say this. Let me just hit the pause button and say this. As a child of God, I'm no better than nobody else. I am not prideful. I'm not egotistical. I'm not full of myself, if you will. The only thing I want to be full of is the Holy Ghost. And there's some things that you and I, as children of God, there's some things we cannot do and things we cannot participate in if we intend to keep the victory. The Bible says we've got to be separate from the world. We've got to come out from among the world and be separate, saith the Lord. That don't mean I'm any better than anybody else, but I have chosen a better life for myself. I have chosen a better life for myself. He says, be sober. Hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you. He said, at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The next verse that I thought about when I thought about the mind, to put on the armor of God and all that, we've talked about that a little later. But Ephesians, again, he says this in Ephesians 6 in verse number 14. And this is a whole grouping of scriptures there, but I only wanted to use this one. He says, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. Have your mind girded about with truth. Thy word is truth. Hey, look at the word of God. Think about the word of God. Let the word of God resonate in you. And only build your life upon the word of God. Don't build it on what this says or that says or anything else. Build it upon what God's word says. You can't build your life on what they say. You can't build your life on what them say. Hello? You've got to build your life a victory upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, having on the breastplate of righteousness. So the first thing we think about when we think about this first thing was, well, you got to notice. Pay attention to it. Pay attention to your words. Pay attention to what you're saying over yourself. That is just weaponry for the enemy. That's just bait for the devil. And again, when I say that, it's not an egotistical thing. I'm not going to pick on somebody in this room. But you got to think of yourself. And again, the Bible warns us for a man not to think more highly of himself. I understand that. We'll look at that a little bit later. But don't go around saying these words. Are you ready for this? Don't ever go around saying these words. I'm dumb. Don't ever go around saying I'm stupid. Don't ever go around saying I'll never amount to anything. Speak positive things over your life, over your future. Is this making any sense to anybody? You say, preacher, I'm not living in that realm yet, but you keep speaking that over your life. You keep living that over your life. You live every day how you want your life to be. And this is what I've said over my life for years. And eventually your life will become exactly what you want it to be. It may take time. I tell folks from time to time, I said, you just do the right thing and eventually it'll catch up with you. Just keep doing the right thing. Keep speaking the right thing. So we got to notice. We got to notice our lives, in our minds, in our hearts. Again, when we think about this, we think about, pay attention to how you are thinking. Again, notice those things that we think that are contrary to Christ and to Christianity. Romans, again, we know the scripture very well. Romans chapter number 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. It says, as Paul opens this up and he says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. He said that you present your bodies. Your bodies houses your mind. A living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable, unto God, which is your reasonable service. In other words, it's not beyond your capability. God says it's the very simplest thing to present yourself to God. Verse number 2, we know the scripture very, very well. And he says, and be not conformed to this world. But he talks about to be transformed. Transformed. I like that word. By the renewing of your mind. I don't know if this is making sense to anybody in this room, but you and I know, and we all know, that if we're not very careful, our mind will just be going in the same way of the things of the world, and we'll be thinking like the world, acting like the world, talking like the world, doing like the world. But my friend, you cannot do that, and I cannot do that. So we have to notice, we have to think about what we're thinking about, and ask ourselves, are we really thinking about what we need to be thinking about? I know that is a play on words, and it's a twist on words, but we really do need to ask ourselves that. But he said to be renewed in the word. We look at this word renew. When you look at this word renew in the concept of Jesus coming into our heart, Jesus coming into our life, Jesus making a brand new heart out of us. He said that this word renewing means renovation. And it talks about God needs to come and renovate our mind. Amen. We need to get rid of our stinking thinking. And oftentimes that happens when we get a check up from the neck up, if you will. We got to check ourselves. Again, let me say this. We got to think about what we're thinking about. And ask ourselves, do I really need to be thinking what I'm thinking? And I'll get into that in a minute. But he said, the renewing of your mind, renovation. We need to let the Holy Ghost come by one more time in the church and renovate our mind. When you think about renovation, it gives the understanding that a new tenant has moved in. And the mind has been renovated by the Holy Ghost, if you will. Talks about renewing of the mind. It talks about the mind as being the organ within the capacity of man where his conscious life is. And it talks about where that it's the mental ability. And then he talks about to be transformed, transformation denoting change of condition. Again, when we think about our spiritual victory too often, it is not defeated in our minds necessarily as much as it's defeated in our hearts, because the Bible said out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And I'm going to be honest with you, whatever's going on in your heart will eventually trickle up to your mind, and it'll work its way out your mouth. Come on, somebody. So not only do we need to notice our capacity, verse number 3 in this verse says, he says, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. But he teaches us in this that we're not supposed to be puffed up with pride and puffed up like we're all that in a bag of chips, if you will. But we're to keep a good, healthy balance in our lives. Hey, you're not the scum of the earth. You're not the trash of the earth, if you will. But the devil's going to make you feel that way. The devil's going to make you feel like a nobody in a somebody's world. I've been there. I felt that way before. There ain't no telling how many times, whether I speak it or whether I say it, that I've had to jerk my own self up by my own bootstraps, kick myself in the backside by my own foot, and say, you get your act together, young man, and you get back on the straight and narrow. I've had to do that to myself. Many, many times in my life. Many times, over and over. Because I would have let my mind go in places that I should not let my mind go to. So that led me to the second thing that I learned this week. Is there's got to be a shift in how we think. We got to notice. We got to pay attention. We got to think about what we're thinking about to see if we really need to be thinking about what we're thinking about. And then there's got to be a shift. There's got to be change. So in this, we see in several scriptures that come to my mind is again, one writer said it like this, we aren't turning negative thoughts into positive thoughts. Now watch this, it's very important. We are not turning negative thoughts into positive thoughts. That's good. When we do that, we abolish the negative. Is this making any sense? We're abolishing the negative in our life by turning negative thoughts into positive thoughts. But one writer put it like this, said, but we are taking our negative thoughts and turning them into biblical thoughts. I about rejoiced on my couch when I read that. That we're taking our negative thoughts and turning it into biblical thoughts. Also, and to do so, we must use God's word to do that. So there's got to be a shift. This shift happens when you look in Philippians chapter 2. It's right there in the word of God in front of us. Philippians chapter number 2, several verses of scripture found there. Again, in verse number 8, it's talking about Jesus and Jesus' crucifixion. But he says this in verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Jesus, again, thought like the Father. He thought like God. Now, I'm not going to take the time to read the rest of those verses of Scripture, but it's where Jesus, again, he thought it not robbery to be, he was in the form of God, but he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He humbled himself even to the death of the cross. That's what it's talking about down through there. But Jesus was thinking in a way that he was surrendered to the total will of the Father. It's a shift. The Bible says you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Somebody says, well, I'm going to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it. And you'll never get the victory of Jesus in your life when you do that. Second thing is this, and I love this one. I've been here so many times, and this grouping of scriptures that we've used, and we've used it many times, I want to use it again. So there's got to be a shift, and in this shift, we see this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I hope you write this down. We start off in verse number 1. We're going down through several verses of Scripture. When you look at this, this again was what Paul was writing. He says, now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ, who in the presence I am base among you, but being absent and bold with you. Paul again was writing unto them. Verse 2. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as we walked according to the flesh. Now look, verse 3. Paul says this, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war in the flesh. Paul said, even though I appeared to be in the flesh, even though I seemed to be bold towards you, it was not my flesh that was provoking me. It was not my flesh that was coming out towards you. I'm not walking in the flesh. He says, we don't war after the flesh. He says that in verse number 3. But look at verse number 4. Look at the shift. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. See, you and I, we cannot fight what we're fighting in this world with just our brain. Hello, somebody. We've got to have the enabling power of the Holy Spirit of God to be able to win the victory that's going on, or the battle that's going on inside of the people of God from day to day, given any particular situation. And we see this in the scripture where Paul was saying, hey, I'm not battling in the flesh. So this takes that shift and it goes a little bit deeper. Even though we think about it in our mind, even though we sense it in our mind, even though we feel it in the mind, there's something much deeper going on. And that is spiritual warfare. It's the attack of the enemy upon our mind, upon our heart. And he said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Look at this, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Every stronghold will come down, Hannah. Y'all sing it today. I was over there minding my own business, thinking to myself, sing it, sing it, sing it. Because you guys and I know and we know that the battlefield is in the mind today. You know that. I know people. That you look at them and they'll flip out. What are you looking at me for? You must be thinking something negative about me. You must be thinking something's wrong with my hair today or something. I ain't thinking nothing. Don't get mad at the preacher. I had a girl years ago. I'm sorry, years ago. I'm gentle. I ain't saying no names. I ain't saying no names. Sherry knows. But we were in a choir years ago at a church, years ago. And we were in choir practice. Naturally, the choir's going to be looking at the piano player. We got to hear. We got to know what's going on, you know. And she was playing, and all the choir was looking at her. She flipped out right there on the piano. Started banging the keys. Bam, 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 bam. What are y'all looking at me for? It's like, hello? We're trying to learn here, you know. I had to say this. Sometimes our mind is just, whoo. And I don't mean that ugly. It's just the way that it happens sometimes. That's what we call an out-of-control mind. And I'm not a psychologist, and I'm not one of them other people that talk about, you know, all that other stuff. I'm just telling you what I believe in my heart. God wanted me to bring here today. So there's got to be a shift in how we're thinking. There's got to be a positive to how we think. And just because somebody looks at you, don't you flip out on them. I got to tell you a funny story. Golly, to break the seriousness of the moment. And I will say this name. She might even be watching me. She was our piano player in Monroe. She was not this other years ago. But I had just went to Monroe years ago. And my good friend, she's my Monroe mama. She's been here before. Phoebe. Phoebe was there. And I'm just this way. And y'all, if I'm talking to you, you forgive me. Before you even say anything to me. If I'm talking to Sandra, and Sandra's talking to me, oftentimes I'm looking over here and I'm looking over here because I got this nervous tick that somebody's going to walk up behind me and stab me in the back. Just kidding. But I'm more aware of my environment around me. Even though I'm talking to you, I may not be looking at you, but I'm listening. So Phoebe said, hey, you look at me when I'm talking to you. I just went to Monroe. I hadn't been there long. She said, you look at me when I'm talking to you. And I'm going, I thought, well, Phoebe, I listen with my ears, not my eyes. I hear every word you're saying, and I repeated verbatim exactly what she said. She said, well, I guess you were listening, wasn't you? I listened to every word she was saying. But I'm just thinking to myself, you know, people are just funny. So don't flip out on nobody. So we need a shift in our thinking. We need to think like Jesus thinks. So we need to look at the scripture again where it talks about this, and I'm almost done, believe it or not. It's not 2:20 yet. And it says here in the Word again, and he says, pulling down every stronghold. In other words, when you think about this, the strongholds that embed themselves within our minds. Another funny story. Some of you know what a quote-unquote red bug is here in the Piedmont of the wonderful North Carolina. If you're in Western North Carolina, you call them a chigger. Anybody know what a chigger is? I've got a spot right here from me and Brother Roger getting wood the other day. I got another one right up there that I'm doctoring right now. Chiggers. When you think about this stronghold and you think about what it's talking about, I studied this before. That's what a chigger will do. It'll get in and it'll bury itself in. It's not going to kill you, but it's going to irritate you. That's what a stronghold will do. It'll get into your mind, it'll get into your heart, and it'll bury itself in. And my friend, there's not but one way to kill a chigger. And that's to smother him out, and you know that. What you don't feed mentally, psychologically, or emotionally will hopefully and eventually smother itself out. Last page. Oh my goodness, there's three more pages. I am so sorry, but I'm going to try to hurry. So what was one of the ways that we needed to overcome this? Negativism. Watch this. It's a good one. Really good. We think about it. It says today we live in a world or a culture of thanklessness. We live in a world of entitlement. But long time ago, we come to the understanding that nobody really owes you anything but to love you. So we've got to find ourselves, watch this, into a new life of gratitude. It's really, when I read this, it was really something that I really enjoyed reading, but it talked about when we find gratitude in our lives, it opens up space for carving new neutral paths in our lives. When we just pause and start, when everything negative is coming in on us, we need to pause and think on gratitude. And when you think about gratitude, we need to focus our attention on gratitude. This writer actually wrote, and it said, a few seconds of gratitude is the most effective way to shift your brain from complaining to gratitude, from complaining to being a positive in your life, from shifting your brain from one. And he says, what do you need to think about? Think about some of these particular things. Think of something that you're grateful for right now. Anybody in the room thankful for anything? Think about your life. Think about your life today. Think about your health. It's like the man that was griping because he didn't have any shoes. And he complained and he griped and he complained about not having any shoes until he saw a man that didn't have any legs. Attitude. Attitude. Heard another story years ago. I'm sorry, I got to share. And I'll try to hurry real fast. I heard a story years ago, and it puts things in perspective. It was two men in a nursing home. One man was in a window, and he was looking out the window. The other man was over here on this side. He couldn't see the window. He couldn't see out the window. And the one man that was near the window every day, he would say, oh, the beautiful butterflies. Oh, what a beautiful bird. Oh, what a beautiful blue sky. And one night that man got sick, and he was aspirating and he was dying. And this man over here, rather than calling for help, he reluctantly let that man die, so that his bed could be scooted over near the window so that he could see the beautiful butterflies and the beautiful blue clouds and the beautiful birds on the feeder. But when this man shifted over here after this man passed away, the man was let down very much, because when he looked out the window, he didn't see nothing but the block of another building. This man's attitude that passed was on the positive things, the nice things, the things that he saw in his own heart, the things that he's seen in his own mind. And a lot of times you and I, if we're just fishing for the negative. The third thing, the final thing, is simply this. You've got to allow your brain to be rewired. You've got to let your brain be rewired. And again, according to this neuroscientist, it only takes 30 seconds. 30 seconds. 30 seconds. For your brain to pause and for your brain to begin to find paths of positive over paths of negative. So the next time you begin to think a negative thought, do what 2 Corinthians said, bring in every thought into captivity. Don't let your mind go wild. Don't let your mind take you to a place that you know in your own heart that you don't want to go. Bring it into captivity. Again, he talks about this rewiring of your brain. I called it this, to allow the Holy Spirit to rewire your brain. Again, Paul, in conclusion, Paul says this in our text. The more pages I turn, the more stuff are still there. I gotta quit. Look at this text that we read to you this morning. So how do we change this negative mindset? Paul says, if you pick this up in verse number 7 of Philippians 4, Paul said, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. God, I don't understand what I'm going through, but I'm going to praise you through it. God, I don't understand why this happened, but I'm going to praise you through it. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. I don't have a clue, God, what's going on and why, but this one thing I'm going to do, I'm going to keep my heart in check. I'm going to keep my mind in check. I'm going to notice how I'm thinking. I'm going to pay attention to what I'm thinking about and really ask myself, do I need to be thinking about what I'm thinking about? Come on, somebody. I'm going to let the Holy Ghost come in. And then Paul says, shall keep your hearts and minds. He's going to keep your hearts. Not only is he going to keep your heart, God's going to keep my mind right when I give it to him. Verse number 8 and following, this is what Paul was saying. Finally, brethren, brothers and sisters, whatsoever things are true. Thy word is truth, Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Hey, don't believe any more lies of the devil. The Bible says you'll believe a lie and be damned. Don't believe another lie of the devil. Quit falling into the devil's trap. Then he says in the word, he says, whatsoever things are honest. Boy, that's something that's went out the land today, hadn't it? Honest. Then he says, whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Oh, that's a big one. Pure heart. A pure mind. Keep your hearts pure. Anytime you see that thing called a laptop going in the wrong direction, shut it. Anytime you see that telephone, and now telephones are just as wicked and more so than laptops. We used to just think it's laptops. Anytime you see something in your life that ought not be going on, bring every thought into captivity. Don't let your mind go there. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, then he says, think on these things. So you notice what's going on in your brain, and then there has to be a shift. And then the third thing is you've got to allow the Holy Spirit to rewire you. How many of you have been born again? When you've been born again, think about the old carnal man, the ugly old man that you were, or the woman you were before you were saved. When the Holy Ghost comes in, when Jesus comes to live in your heart, like I said, heard it said, it's not turning over a new leaf. It's actually a brand new life. But oftentimes we try to get taken back into that old life, don't we? That's when we need to throw up the stop sign at the devil and say, like it's been said in the past, you can't touch this. I want you to stand with me. If I had to say I shared with you what I felt like God put in my heart today, I'd have to say I shared it just the way that it came to me and how that I needed to share it today. And you say, well, that was good, but it wasn't for me. But you know what? It was for somebody. Amen. I remember a friend of mine, his name's Mike Nations. Mike Nations was a student down at a college, Gardner Webb or somewhere down in the mountain area. He said one day as his professor came by his computer desk and he tapped on the computer screen. He said, look here, you got to understand. If you put trash in, you're going to get trash out. Mike Nations said that in a preaching service one time. He was my pastor at Clyde, still a great friend of mine. And that's just like you and I today. If we put nothing but trash in our brain, guess what's going to come out? We're in trouble. But if you do what this says, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, let the Holy Ghost do something in your life. Things are honest. Things are just. Things are pure. Things are lovely. Things of a good report. If there be any strength, if there be virtue, strength, if there be any praise. Paul said, think on these things. It's not changing negative into positive, but it's the thing that you're learning and making a biblical application to it. Learning to think like Jesus thinks. Learning to speak and think like the Bible. Watch your life change if you do that. Let's bow our heads. Father, we love you today and we praise you and we thank you. We thank you, God, for thy word is forever settled in heaven. Thy word is truth. Father, without you, God, we cannot do anything at all. Father, I pray, God, even now that as we come to the conclusion of this service, God, my prayer is that something was said or done in this service today that would help somebody take somebody's life and turn it around for you and for your glory. Father, I know the enemy is going to do everything he can to attack our mind, attack our hearts, and attack our lives. Father, I pray for that one that walked into this room today struggling, that this message was for. I pray, God, that you give them the deliverance that they need today. And God, that we would see you transform our minds and transform our lives, that we would become the very people, God, that you would have us to be. And Father, we love you and honor and praise you and thank you for that that you're doing and that that you're going to do. Maybe you're here today and this message was for you. I pray that it was. But maybe you're here today and you've never let Jesus into your heart. You've never asked Jesus into your heart to be saved, to be born again. My friend, that's where it starts. It starts with a born-again experience. It starts with knowing who Jesus is and Lord and Savior. And maybe that's you today. And all you have to do is say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me. I have sinned. I have wronged you, God. I've transgressed against you. And I ask you, Jesus, right now to forgive me of all of my sins. Wash my sins away. I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is my Lord and he is my Savior. I believe in his birth, his burial, his resurrection, and his soon coming. So Jesus, come in right now to my heart and forgive me of all of my sins. Start me on a brand new path. Start me on a brand new way following you. And we ask it in your precious name. If you prayed that prayer, let me know that. But for the rest of us that's here this morning, I believe that God wants us to work on our thinking. God bless you. Listen, this evening at 6 o'clock, bring all the goodies that we've talked about, and we'll see you in the gymnasium at 6 o'clock this evening. Have a great afternoon, and I love you.